reached the end of the Overcomer series. We've been through this whole process of the of downloading to ourselves the helmet of salvation and the breastplate of righteousness and the belt of truth and the feet shod with the preparation of gospel of peace and of course the shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Remember which word it is? It's not the whole word, it's the Rhema. That one verse that you can use. And that's why we memorize Scripture. Because we want to put in our heads, and our hearts these multiple Rhemas of God so that they are there for the Holy Spirit to use under whatever circumstances we happen to find ourselves in. The apostle finishes this section by saying this. Now, I'll just read the whole section for you to get the context. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God. This is Ephesians 6:13. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armour of God, that you might be able to withstand the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Rhema, the Word of God. And then he says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. It's going to be a very short message. And not really a message, it's just an exhortation. And then we're going to do something else. But I want to draw your attention to a grammatical principle that it's important for you to understand. When you read a sentence that says and it refers to the Spirit, the word "the" is what's called a definite article. That's what it is. And a definite article focuses you on the noun. That's the grammar. The noun in this case is the Holy Spirit. The word "the" focuses you on the person of the Holy Spirit. There's only one problem. In the Greek text, the definite article is not there. And in point of fact, that should read, and in some translations, in fact, does read, praying always in spirit. When the definite article is not there, now it doesn't focus on the person of the Holy Spirit. It focuses on the work and the function of the Holy Spirit. Amen? Is that okay? Is that too difficult to understand? No. Okay. So as we come to this passage of Scripture and we look at it in the original language, Paul says, wherefore, because of the fact that you wrestle against, not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and spiritual wickedness in high places, because you wrestle against the evil one, put on all these things, and then he ties it all together by saying, and pray in spirit with all prayer and supplication. Supplication is making your requests known to God. Telling God, Lord, I have this need. That's a supplication. It honours God when you bring these needs to him. He wants you to bring these needs to him. He wants to meet those needs. He wants to be glorified in your life by meeting those needs. Amen? That's the message for today. Rather short, wasn't it, Grandma? You feel like I'm not earning my pay today. This is why I get the big bucks, man. So, Father wants to speak to you today. He wants to speak to you today. Friends, I'll be really, I'll sort of step out of my usual role and just be really blunt and frank, okay? Because I want you to really get this. Peter sort of put it this way, you know, you can't suck on baby bottles for the rest of your life. At some point, you have to move to steak and chips. Or in Justin's case from yesterday, it was, I really have to meet with you afterwards, Sarah, and let you know, let you in on it. He was unbelievable. He was off the chain yesterday. So it was sausages and hamburgers and steak and chops and roast. Oh, it went on and on. It was amazing. So I'm telling on him, okay? But Father wants to speak to you. And he wants you to step up the message to the church that he wants to give to you. Is it's time to step up from baby Christianity and experience the friction of growth in a spiritual life. There are some people. Can you imagine? Can you imagine somebody Sue's age? Can you imagine somebody Sue's age who comes to a church luncheon, and which we're going to be having next week, by the way. I'll tell you about that later. And instead of eating curry chicken, she gets a baby bottle and sucks some milk. That would be grotesque, would it not? And yet, in the spiritual life, there are people who enter the spiritual life and never progress past sucking on milk bottles. They never progress, Peter says. He says, at a time when you should be on solid food, you're still on baby's milk. And I'm not coming here today to rebuke you. I'm coming here to teach you what the Spirit of God has spoken to me this week at 4 o'clock in the morning on Monday. I don't know what it is about 4 o'clock. That's a dreadful hour of the day, and for some reason I'm awake at 4 o'clock a lot. And Monday I was awake at 4 o'clock. And the Holy Spirit laying in bed thinking about right now, thinking about today, and thinking and meditating about today's message. And the Holy Spirit said, I want to speak to my people. I want to speak to my people. I laid there and sort of went, am I dreaming or am I actually awake? No, I was awake. I said, Lord, what would that look like? He said, well, it's very simple. I want to speak to my people. And I want you to create the circumstances on Sunday so I can speak to my people. It's not going to come from you. What comes from me is pretty watered down compared to coming from Father. He wants you, friends, the message to you today is step up. Step up. Do you know, next week, we're going to have people here next week who don't normally come to church. Because we're going to be dedicating Baby McKee over here. And we're going to be preaching a message called Overcoming Death with Life. A message of hope. A message of victory. A message of salvation coming across to people. And I want these, look around you, there's empty chairs. You know how you can fill those chairs? By engaging with us in Operation Andrew. Operation Andrew. Andrew went to his brother Simon, Peter, and he said, "We have found the Messiah," and he brought him to Jesus. And I want to challenge you today, next week, invite someone, bring them to Jesus. Do you care? I prayed today, and as I've been praying throughout the week, Lord, give your people a new vision of the horrors of hell. As you have a new vision of the horrors of eternal damnation and eternal suffering away from the person of Christ, how can you look at someone who's unsaved and not have compassion and mercy in your heart, because that's exactly where they're going to be going? And I want to challenge you today to step up to the plate and say, I've been given all these tools. I'm in the army. It's no longer good enough to simply turn up on Sunday, sit there and wait for it to finish so I can go home and that's it for the week. That is baby Christianity, my friends. And I want to urge you and encourage you to live Christ on Tuesday and Wednesday and all those other days, which I can't remember. I want to urge you and encourage you to do that. I want to urge you to live Christ in the place where you work, and to live Christ in the place where you go for recreation and amongst your friends. I would hate for you to get to heaven and find yourself looking back over your life and saying, you know what? I worked in that place. I worked in that place for 25 years. And if my Christian testimony was put on trial, there wouldn't be enough evidence to convict me of being a Christian. That's not where we should be living, friends. We should be waking up in the morning and saying, good morning, Father. Thank you for another day. I'm here. I'm your servant. I'm available to you. I want to spend this day. I want this day to be spent in your service. I want to spend this day in a way that is pleasing in your sight. Whether it's what you want is irrelevant. What God wants is totally relevant. Next Sunday, please bring food. Bring more than you need, because there'll be people here who won't have brought food, and we want to be warm and we want to be welcoming, and we want them to feel the love of Jesus in this place. Amen. I want to urge you during the week to pray and ask the Spirit of God, Lord, show me who should I ask to come. Now, if he gives you a name, you already know he's working on that person, because he gave you that name. And you know what's the worst thing that can happen? They'll send some Islamic terrorists to torture you. No, they won't. They'll simply say no. That's all. I've had so many people say no to me that it doesn't matter anymore. I mean, who cares if they say no? Because you know what? Sometimes somebody says yes. I asked 15 girls to marry me before Robin said yes, and finally got one, you know. That isn't true. She, hey, right, I used to cut it out, you lot. I'll get you to do that. Next Sunday, Operation Andrew. We're going to dedicate a baby to a life of loving Christ. And we're going to invite people to come from a place of darkness and a horrible future into a place of hope, into a place of victory, and to a place of meaningfulness in life. Amen. That's what we're going to do. But for right now, what we're going to do is I just want to teach you one little thing. And it was amazing how God puts things together. This message from the Spirit of God came to me at 4 o'clock in the morning on Monday. And on Friday, I went to a ministry meeting in Geelong. And that fellow got up and he said, How do we hear the voice of God? Are the rafters going to do one of these numbers? And dust everywhere? And sheets will go off the roof and fly off, and you say, now I've got your attention? God doesn't do things like that. He speaks to you with a still, small voice. But here is the thing. It goes into that front 41% of your brain, and you'll hear three voices there. Voice number one, the Holy Spirit. Voice number two, Satan. And voice number three, you. And they all sound the same. So how can I discern the difference? And I'll tell you how. The voice of God comes spontaneously. It comes when I'm not expecting God to wake me up at 4 o'clock in the morning. I think I have reason for complaint to Fair Work Australia that I'm outside my scope here. 4 o'clock in the morning's not fair. But 4 o'clock in the morning, I've got nothing else on my mind. Amen? And I'm laying there, and the Holy Spirit says, morning, Neil. I have a message for you. And the voice of God speaks only what's consistent with Scripture. Amen. Never outside that. Amen. The voice of the devil speaks negativity and criticism and bitterness and self-destructive thoughts. It's the devil who takes your mind to elicit sexual things. It's the devil who takes your mind to other people in the assembly that you then go and say negative, critical things about. That is not coming from God. That is satanic. That is the devil. That is you leaving the back door open for the devil to come in and to create problems and to destroy the dissemination of the love of Christ in the place. We're called to love one another, not criticise one another. And your voice, who knows what your voice is going to say? Could be anything. But here's what we're going to do, friends. You may never have had this experience. I don't know if you have or you haven't. But you're going to have it today. Because the Holy Spirit said to me, and gave me a vision of how we should engage with him today as a church. And what we're going to do for the rest of our time together is I'm going to ask you to break the church up into little groups of four or five, no more. And I'm going to ask you to sit quietly, say nothing. Silence is golden. When we are praying, I like to say, pray often, pray much, and if you have to, speak. Because what God has got to say to you is ever so much more important than anything you've got to say to him. I'm not going to tell you what to pray because I haven't been told to do that. What I've been told to do is to create the environment so that the Holy Spirit can speak to your mind. And as he speaks to your mind, you just simply respond and pray. Amen? You just simply respond and pray. Now, I want to say this to you. This is a first century church thing. This is what they did. They got together for prayer. Go and read Acts 16. You're going to read all through the book of Acts and you're going to see what they did. They gathered for prayer. I heard one fellow say recently the greatest sin of the modern Western church is prayerlessness. We need to pray. And you need to learn to hear the voice of God because he wants to speak to you. And we often live our lives in a way that prevents that from happening because he's a gentleman and he doesn't crash in over the top of you. He allows you freedom. He allows you freedom of choice. So what I'm going to get you to do right now, I don't want you to talk to anybody. I don't want you to go bibbity, 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 bibbity and get all distracted with nonsense. I just want you to get into little groups of four or five all over the building and sit quietly. And as you hear the voice of the Spirit of God in your mind, and he has told me, I want to speak to my people. He is going to speak to you. And as he speaks to you, and as you are engaged with him, you just respond in prayer. Okay? Let's do it.